This is the only liturgy in the entire liturgical year that the church says must be celebrated entirely at night. It's not that darkness provides a kind of dramatic, solemn atmosphere. We could create an atmosphere just like that in the middle of the day. No, our liturgical guidelines insist that the Easter vigil in the holy night must take place entirely at night and finish before daybreak for a reason that we might not ponder very often. Christ rose from the dead during the night. St. Luke's account of Christ's resurrection makes this very clear. He tells us that the women who had come with Jesus from Galilee went to his tomb at daybreak, and they found that he had already raised from the dead. They found that his body wasn't there. The angels reminded them that Jesus had told them that he would be handed over to sinners and be crucified and die and rise from the dead on the third day. And as the angels put it, "Why do you seek the living one among the dead? He is not here, but he has been raised." You see, by the time morning broke, Jesus had already been raised from the dead. The beautiful and ancient poem called the Exultet, which Father Ryan sang early in the liturgy, dates back as far as the 6th century. And so for 15 centuries, every Holy Saturday night, Christians have been exclaiming this striking line, which describes why tonight is so important. O truly blessed night, worthy alone to know the time and hour when Christ rose from the underworld. Have you ever thought about that? Jesus rose from the dead at night, at an hour known only to the night, a secret kept by the Lord and by this holy night, even to the moment now when we have gathered for this Easter vigil in the holy night. Now, we know that the darkness of any night holds great significance for us all. And sometimes that significance is palpable, very real, and even very frightening. What child doesn't fear the night? Who among us doesn't take extra precautions at night? Who among us has not had life experiences that we could only describe as the night or darkness? We grope for a footing at night. Our eyes have to adjust to darkness to see even a shadowy glimmer of our surroundings. Darkness can awaken our deepest fears, the anxieties that keep us awake and disturb our peace. At night and in the darkness, we can feel totally alone and even abandoned. The Bible reminds us again and again that the greatest darkness of all is sin. That experience of having chosen to lose our way in life, figuratively and literally. And tonight we've heard many scripture readings that have given us intimations of God's love and of our turning away from that love when we sin. Powerful throughout those readings were the glimmers of light, the whispers of God's presence, the shouts of love that God has given from the moment he created the heavens and the earth. Throughout earth's many millennia, from Adam and Eve, there have been God's light and the darkness of our choosing sin. And as we heard, there has always been the hope God has extended to every man and woman in every generation, because he has never abandoned us, even when we abandoned him. We hear and see many powerful images tonight. The book of Exodus, for example, tells us that as the Israelites journeyed through the desert, God provided them a pillar of cloud by day and a pillar of fire by night. And why? So that even in the darkness, they could still see where he was leading them. Now remember that this liturgy began with the blessing of an immense fire and the lighting of a huge candle. And we were all led into this cathedral, literally, by this pillar of light. And then Father Ryan sang the beautiful line, "This is the night when a pillar of fire banished the darkness of sin." The true pillar of light, the true light, is Jesus, who by his death and resurrection has banished the darkness, the sin, the fear, the abandonment, the anxiety, the amnesia, the confusion, and the very power of light. He has banished the darkness of death itself. And even more, Jesus banished the power of darkness in all its forms by mercy, humility, forgiveness, peace, direction, hope, truth, and new life. The Exultet makes it clear that Jesus dispels the darkness with his lightning and makes it dazzling so that we will see in him the very way all of us were meant to live. And so, in the literal darkness of this Holy Saturday night, the church reminds us that Christ rose from the dead in the middle of the night. He had traveled the distance that sin had taken us from life in God, all the way to death, in order to retrieve us, to ransom us, to embrace us, and bring us back to life. Life as our Heavenly Father has intended us to live it from the very beginning. You see, the Lord is not afraid of darkness, nor is he repulsed by the darkness of our sin. When we turned away, he ran after us. When we sinned, he took upon himself the guilt of us all so that we could be free. One of the great saints of our tradition, St. John of the Cross, was very familiar with darkness in all of its forms. He was even imprisoned, and it was there that he experienced the darkness of abandonment, like the Lord on the cross. He was dragged to the very limit of his personal resources, and he cried out to God, "Where have you hidden?" But gradually, he began to experience the presence of Christ in his very imprisonment. And one of the ways that he described his emerging awareness of Christ has always appealed to me. John wrote that it's like when we enter a dark room and sit for a few moments by ourselves, only to realize in time that there is someone with us, someone who arrived before us and has been there all along, someone we perceive at first only in silhouette and who becomes increasingly clearer to us. St. John described this experience as discovering a companion who walks with us and gives us strength, a loving companion who emerges in our darkness. My sisters and brothers, if you feel yourself to be in darkness tonight, this is the night to let Jesus enter. He will do so gladly, lovingly, mercifully, peacefully. After all, he rose from the dead in the middle of the night. And over many months and years, tonight's candidates for baptism and reception into the church have let Jesus in. Having sensed that he was calling them closer, and having a sense that, in fact, he had drawn close to them, they let him in to their darkness, into their night, and he has changed them. And in a few moments, he will totally transform them and give them the freedom of baptism and the fire of confirmation and the glorious food of the Lord's own body and blood for the first time. And what of us who took our lights tonight from the great pillar of fire as we set out from this cathedral tonight? What will we do? We are to let Christ shine through us to everyone so that they will come to know him too, whatever their night is like, whatever their darkness. Christ has risen from the dead, and so are we in Him.